Good morning, Blog
Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Men's Edition. Morning at the Mansion, the Men's Edition. Good morning. It's October 6, 2019. Jewish
is live.
Yeah, check the calendar. Good morning, Ron Monroe.
Good morning, Ron.
My little Mosey page.
Good morning, Leslie.
Ron. Yeah.
Dante.
Oh, Dante. What's up, brother? Call me. Yeah, not during the show, though. But, my brother Dante up in New York, you know, he's working with many different organizations. God's definitely elevating him, and it's an honor to know him. Good morning, Jonathan Cook. Good morning. I'm gonna give you a call.
Is Jonathan the one?
With the care ministries. Yeah, yeah. He's got the men's home. We're gonna fill up. Good morning, Jeff Sager. Good morning, Sean McGee. Yeah, but you know, there's many things going on, and God's bringing all the. He's connecting the dots, and we just gotta see it. Because now it's time to get us involved. Because we are the church.
That's right.
I said this small little come in, but I think we are the church. But with many, like, there's different warehouses. The building is not the church. We're the church. It's just a building with bricks until we enter it. Then it's a church.
You know, Pastor Eric talked about that yesterday.
Well, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
See, I was in the account. I was getting the tithe and we were doing the money, so I didn't hear it.
He was counting the money.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so someone got to do it. Praise the Lord. You're doing the tithe.
Yeah, he was talking about how, you know, that Jesus said that in my Father's house are many mansions.
Yeah.
And, you know, woo! we're the stones that are all put together. And he's the cornerstone. Juan, what's up, Juan Flores?
Here it is.
How you doing, brother?
We are nothing without the Spirit in us. All we are is we're a vessel. And we're going to talk about today. We'll get into that stuff. But, you know, but here it is. These are just buildings. These are just buildings, right? And think about it, in Jerusalem. There was one temple, right? But they said little Shantina, but there was one main temple. They all came during the Passover.
Yeah.
So they truly were part of one, you know what I mean? They were truly understood one body. Now, we have to get back to that same, it's not like baseball, football, the Jets, the Giants, the Cowboys. We're all the same team.
Yeah, the church has to get back to the biblical church.
Ooh,
and, you know, I feel like the Lord has anointed me and called me to debunk American Christianity. It's like every day I feel in my spirit that he's telling me that you know, debunk American Christianity because it's not biblical Christianity.
No,
I mean, it's all in. There's no halfway.
Hallelujah, yeah. You know, we have to be mindful. We're going to talk about today. Again, you know, there's no typing error, if you saw it. The title today is Who's Your Daddy? We're going to get into that today. It's something that you need to take very seriously because who you're serving is important, and it's a matter of the heart, down deep in the heart. And we need to know who do we serve? Who's our daddy? Who do we belong to is what it comes down to.
Yeah, and you know, that's a term, that's a slang term, who's your daddy? And it was a slang term to show dominance and authority. And it's like, you know, it's an example of, like, if someone was driving the lane in basketball and they slam dunk on somebody, and they're like, who's your daddy? You know, and it's like that, and it shows that dominance or authority, and it's the same thing, because Jesus said, you're either of your father the devil or God's your father.
Well, yeah.
So who's your daddy? That's the question that we're asking today. Who's your daddy?
Yeah, who you honoring our fathers? This ain't confusing. We don't need to settle this with Jerry Springer or who's that guy, Maury Povich. You know what I mean? Who's your daddy?
Right.
And your father, and it came back, you know, and the commercial break and all that stuff. We don't need to settle it on that show.
No, we can
we'll settle it here.
That's
in
right.
This Bible.
We
settle
know,
it in our hearts.
You
will know. Who's your daddy?
Hallelujah.
World. Come on now.
Praise
man. So let's get it right. And I'm going to implore you to really tune into this and understand what we're saying. Take down these scriptures. Write them down. And
good morning,
them.
Terry Shear.
Yeah, good morning. You know what I'm saying? So know this. Who's your daddy? Who you serve, right? Let's just start these scriptures. We
okay.
Not. And you want to pray sometimes? No?
Yes. Father, thank you for this time that we get to come together, and Father, thank you that I get to call you my daddy.
All right.
I love you, Daddy, and I thank you that you're my father, and I thank you that you gave me the right to become your child, Lord. And I pray that everyone watching and everyone listening, that they come to the realization that they can be your child if they're not already, that they can be your child, and if they are your child, that they can walk as your child. and just understand that you're their daddy. And you know, Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? Father, I pray that that realization comes to us, that our hearts are soft and pliable to receive with meekness your implanted word, which is able to save our souls. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Good morning, Larry Rohde. Yeah, we're going to get, we got a lot of people tuning in this morning. I'm glad.
Praise the Lord.
All right, so yeah, let's get into it.
Let's start off with John.
Yeah, because that's a long way. Now, pay attention to this one. We're going to read about 12 verses, so get your ears open.
This is John chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, and I'm going to start in verse 31.
All right.
Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "But we are descendants of Abraham," they said. "We have never been slaves to anyone." "What do you mean you will be set free?" And Jesus replied to them, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin, and a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free."
Woo!
I'm going to stop right there for a minute. I mean, we know this because, I mean, being bound up in drugs and alcohol for 30 plus years, and I don't know how long it was for you, but when he sets you free, he sets you free from the desire of it. And it's so awesome. When Jesus sets you free, you're truly free. So if the Son sets you free, you're truly free.
Amen.
"Yes, I realize that you're descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me, because there's no room in your hearts for my message." We talked about who's got your heart last week.
Yeah.
"I'm telling you what I saw when I was with my father, but you are following the advice of your father." "Our father is Abraham," they declared. "No," Jesus replied, "for if you were really the children of Abraham, you would follow his example. Instead, you are trying to kill me because I told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing." "No, you're imitating your real father," they replied. "We aren't illegitimate children. God himself is our father." And Jesus told them, "If God were your father, you would love me, because I have come to you from God. I am not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me, for you are the children of your father, the devil." Jesus said, "You can't. The reason that you don't understand is because you can't even hear me." Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." In John chapter 10, he said that. But he said, "You are of your father, the devil."
Yeah. Wow. There it is. You know what? There it is. It's real simple. People watching today, and there's going to be three people watching. People that are going to say, get a wake up call when they hear this message, and they say, "Wow, let me check myself, because who am my servant?" And then some people are going to agree with the message, say, "Oh yeah, I know that. Thank you for, you know, validating it or confirming." Then you're gonna have people that are gonna be mad and say, "How dare they?" Those people who say, you get mad listening to this? How dare we say this? This is the word of God. You really need to check yourself and dig deep. Because if you're offended by these words today and this message, man, you probably do belong to the devil. I'm saying that to me to you. And this is
Jesus was talking about it right now. These were religious people who said that God was their father. They were children of Abraham. And Jesus said, "Well, you're trying to kill me."
Here's what it says.
So it's the same thing. If they get mad.
All right, you check it out. Ready? A slave is not a permanent member of the family. All right, man. You might be a guest sometimes. You might even show up on Christmas or Easter. But you ain't a member of the family. Because when it comes down to you, don't get the inheritance. So here it is. The truth of the matter is, it said here where it says, "So if the Son sets you free," I realize Jesus telling the Jews that were, you know, rebuking, "I realize that you are descendants of Abraham." Remember here it says in verse 37 that you are descendants, not sons. Because in Romans 9, verse 7, it says the same thing. Just because you're a descendant of Abraham doesn't make you a son of Abraham. Because guess what? Just because you show up to church doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. Just because your mama and your daddy are preachers and saved don't mean you're saved. See, you're of the bloodline, but it takes more than just the bloodline itself. It takes the commitment on your part to accept Jesus into your heart. So descendant don't make you a child. So get it different here, because that's what it says. So if your father is truly Abraham, Jesus was saying, you would already receive me because it's already in your heart. But you have no room in your heart because your heart is hardened, full of religion.
Yeah, see, when they were descendants of Abraham,
yeah,
they were descendants of Abraham that's in the flesh. But Jesus said you must be born again. So when you're born again, you're born of God, and that's when everything changes.
Yeah,
and you become children of God.
Descended to son.
Yeah,
or daughter.
Exactly.
Yeah, because
yeah,
there's a difference. Let's get it straight. There's a difference between a descendant and a son. We know that because,
yeah,
again, go back to Romans chapter 9. I stumbled across that last night. And we need to know. You know how you know you're a child of God? We'll get into that later, so stay tuned. But the bottom line is, it says you are not imitating your real father. You are imitating your real father. So we know that an apple don't fall far from the tree, right? And, you know, Satan, we're going to know, because it's talked about in the Bible many ways. You are not, it says God himself is our true father. Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. You would love me. So if, here it is. If we keep his commandments, we know we love him, right? Like,
yeah.
1 John, we'll get into that. So here it is. I see too many doors open. Here it is. You need to study this yourself. There's so many things from this lesson, just this title. Just this will lead you to many different ways. You need to know that if you are children of God, you're going to know. And you're going to walk it out.
Yeah.
Right? It's more than just a proclamation.
And, you know, Jesus went on to say in verse 44
yeah,
that the devil, that he always hated the truth because there was no truth in him.
Oh, yeah.
And when he lies, it's consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago when we talked about whose voice are you listening
yeah,
to. And you know, I talked about that lady that came to the church and was telling what the devil was telling her this and telling her that. And the pastor said, why are you listening to the devil? You know, he's a father of lies. So if you're listening to the wrong voice, you need to make sure who your father is. Who's your daddy?
That's right. Somebody. See, this is a vessel. This is a vessel to be led by. There's a spirit that's going to lead you. You better get it right. You're going to be led by one spirit or the other. There's only two different types of wisdom. One from our Father in heaven that is pure and righteous. And then we've got the spirit of this world, which is truly from the devil. So don't get it twisted. That's how you're going to know who you belong to, what you're doing. It's your heart. It's about your heart. You know what I mean? You want to be adopted into the family of God. You need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. And then once you do in tongue, believe in your heart and start walking it out. If this is a real situation, brothers and sisters watching today, we need to know. We need to know who we belong to. Because don't be blinded by this world system or this world religion.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff we hear isn't really adding up to what the true word of God tells us. So let's get it right. Come on now.
Amen.
Come on. All right, so this character, see, there it is. So here it is. When he lies, he is consistent with his character. He's a liar, and he's the father of lies. So here it is. Are you lying a lot? Are you not believing the truth? Because to be a liar, you don't even have to open your mouth. It's just you believing in the wrong thing. That makes you a liar. He's the father of lies. It tells us in the Bible that you are a liar if you don't keep my commandments. That's what it says. It says you don't have the truth. But if you do keep his commandments, you know the truth, and the truth, the love of God will be perfected in you. So, lying just ain't with your tongue. Lying is in your heart.
That's where it starts.
Yeah,
and the first piece of armor in the whole armor of God is the belt of truth. And the belt of truth when you lie, you know, any kind of lie, white lie, you can call it whatever you want, but half truth is a whole lie.
Yeah.
But when you lie, you're just opening the door to the devil because he's the father of lies. So we gotta understand who is our daddy.
Yeah, that's it. Who's your daddy? And again, this is a lot. I know we should put out a lot right away, but here it is. This scripture means, and there's a lot of scripture back there. So get into John 8 and read it. Okay, you'll understand. You need to know who you belong to. Just because you're showing up to church, just because you said a prayer, don't believe all the falsehood. The truth is in the book of the Bible. The word it is true, and you will know the word because the more you study it, the more you'll come to understand. And we have to allow the Holy Spirit in us to help us to study this word. So we need to know the truth is real, and we can't believe everything we hear, right?
Yeah.
We have to go forward, and we have to really, really press in and pray.
Right.
You know, and again, but the Bible's part of it. But the truth is, you need to have a relationship with the Lord and Master himself. You need to commune with God, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You can't just show up to church for an hour or 2 hours on a Sunday. No. You got to be every day, spend some time with the Lord. Find some time in the morning. Find some time at lunch. Find some time in the evening. Find some time and get with God, because God will lead you. He's never going to let you down. And if you show up to God, he's going to reward you, because he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Okay?
Amen.
So we're going to go with the 1 John here. And we're going to talk about 1 John in verse 3. We're going to start off in 1. And so here it is. This is the New Living Translation right here. See how much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children, because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do not know what we will be like for him, but we see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. Okay, so verse 3. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he, Jesus Christ, is pure. Okay, if you have this eager expectation of Christ returning, that means you belong to him. Okay, that's the first sign or notion. When you are ready for the Lord, again, but we can't, you know, we're expecting him. We're not saying, ooh, I hope he won't come back today because I'm just not ready.
Yeah.
No. If you are expecting Jesus Christ, you believe in your heart of hearts, without a doubt, not even an inclination of doubt at all in your mind, you know he's coming. You belong to him. And it says you will keep yourself pure. And pure is faithful, right? To him. Pure is knowing who he is. Pure is keeping, you know, walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
Yeah, you be pure by seeking him, because he's the only one that can purify us. You know, when John said, I baptize you in water, but there comes one after me that will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire, that fire is not a weird roll around on the ground type, you know.
Yeah, really.
That fire is to purify you. John said his winnowing fan is in his hand, and I'm telling you, this is when I first prayed this prayer, I don't want to say scared, but that's really the only way I can say it. I was kind of scared to say it, but I said, Lord, purify me with unquenchable fire, and that's what the Bible says. It's unquenchable fire, and when you read that, you think about maybe it's a lake of fire or whatever, but that unquenchable fire will burn up anything that's not of him, where it will not come back. And that's what pureness is. But, you know, you're talking about when, you know, it says that we will know him when Christ appears. We will know him, for we will see him as he really is.
Yeah.
When you're a child of God, I'm telling you, think about a little kid when their daddy gets home from work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My goodness, they run up to him. Daddy, daddy, we will see him as he really is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if that doesn't excite you, today, now is the day of salvation,
yeah,
I'm telling you.
Yeah,
that will excite you just to think, to see Jesus as he really is. Woo!
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And we need to know that we're not anticipating his return. What are we anticipating?
Right.
You know, you're waiting on a pay raise or a vacation or a long 3-day weekend or something? No. Waiting on Halloween? I don't know. What are you anticipating? We have to check ourselves. What are we looking forward to? Okay, because we're going to be anticipating something in this world, right? Because I remember, and I'm sure you can testify, Bobby, I was anticipating Friday, 5 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
And boom,
man.
I'm off. Here we go.
We used to have a job. We played for a baseball team, and the guy had a company that we worked for. And, man, we used to go to work, and we'd play that song by Loverboy.
Oh,
everybody's,
yeah.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
Man.
But no more.
Yeah, we work. How about this?
Now we're about our father's business.
I used to sometimes work the whole month. I used to pay once a month in stocks, but I worked the whole month to get a good weekend in. I'm talking like a $20,000 weekend. We go to Atlantic City, and boy, ooh, it didn't matter. You know what I mean? So what are we waiting for? Because he runs to the goal. Let's get to the bench. Get that check point. And here we go.
Yeah.
Come on. And that's it. So that's the falseness of it all. That's the lie. That's the truth is not in us.
Well, that's the thing I was saying about the American Christianity is chasing that almighty dollar instead of chasing almighty God.
Every dollar bill reminds you that we need to trust in God, not that green money that's going to perish with this body. We need to know that we need to store our treasures in heaven. And what do you store in heaven? Because guess what? If you're running around for the devil saying, well, I'm going to come to God when I turn 20 or 30 or 40. No, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. You can wait, but guess what? They may never come. And guess what? Jesus might show up before your 30th birthday or your 40th or your 50th or your 60th. Don't look at me or Bobby or anyone in your parents and say, well, Bobby came in his late 40s and he came when he's almost 50. It don't matter because that's by the grace of God. I made it to this age to get to the point to serve
Amen.
Him. I should have been dead at 30. And then everyone prophesied this world that I'd be dead before 40. Then they're like, this guy ain't never going to make it to 41. Then let alone I'm 50 years old and who knows how long God will give me to do. But I'm serving him now, not the world, not the
Amen.
Devil. I mean, who are you serving? Who's your daddy? You need to check. Ask yourself that question right now while you're watching us and text us. We'll help you. Call us. We're live. If you're watching, call us.
Yeah.
We'll pray for you. This is serious stuff. This ain't no joke to be playing with. Your daddy, if you're laying with the wrong, with the wrong daddy, man, let me tell you something. It's dangerous and you're playing with fire. And that devil, he's a liar. And he wants to steal your soul and destroy it. He wants company down there in that lake of fire when the gnashing of the teeth.
Come
on. Yeah. You need to get it right. We all do. And come to the Lord Jesus. Come right now. Pray. Call out to him right now. Because here it is. Here's what it tells us. All right? And we're going to verse 8. Remember, we're in 1 John 3. Now, we read 1 to 3. I'm going right to 8. We're getting to the point. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they don't belong to the devil. This is verse 8 in John. So, Lee, here's the thing. We all mess up, all right? But that don't make it right. We're going to all be responsible. Especially, we're going to be responsible for our thoughts and our words. That we're going to be even more responsible for our actions. So, here it is. When you keep on sinning, it proves to you and to God that you belong to the devil. Okay? So here it is. Who has been sinning since the beginning? But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Already done. Walk in the victory that God has already done.
Yeah.
He's done it all at the cross. We need to walk in this victory. And if you're still at the liquor store and calling the dope dealer, waiting for your check to clear, okay, and you're still paying the dope dealer from the drugs you done last week, and you ran up your credit card bill at the club, you're in trouble. You better call on God. And here it is. Those who have been born into God's kingdom do not make a practice of sinning. You want to practice something, like the violin, the drums, the guitar. You want to practice basketball. You're out there trying to achieve a certain level of proficiency in that area. So guess what? If you're practicing sin, you're probably real good at it by now, because I know I was after 30 years. But now we need to practice the things of God. Read the Bible. Know who God is. Know what Jesus Christ done for you. Okay? You can't keep sinning, so now we can tell who the children of God are. And then we can tell the children of the devil, it says. And anyone who does not live righteously, does not love other believers, does not belong to God. Don't get mad at me. I'm just reading what the Word of God says.
You know, this is a scripture that sometimes is not really taught, again, in American Christianity. Well, you know, it's true. It's a hard read. I mean, because it says that if they're born into God's family, they do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them, so they can't keep on sinning.
That's right.
Because they are children of God. When you read that, you're like, whoa, how can we not sin? It tells you because God's life is in you.
Yep.
That's the only way you can do it. And I'm telling you, you know, and here I'm going to preach to myself. Okay, am I perfect? No, I'm not. But I'm telling you, when I let my guard down and say, well, I'm just, you know, I'm under grace, so I'm not going to. No, this says that I can not sin.
Yeah.
That's what it says. If I'm shooting at a target, if I'm trying to throw a football 10 yards, that's going to be easy. But if I want to throw a football 50 yards, I'm going to have to throw it farther. You got to, whatever target you're shooting after, if you're aiming low, you're going to hit low every time. So when the Bible says, so they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God, we need to take that literal. And it tells us how to do it because God's life is in us.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. And Ezekiel, God said in Ezekiel, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways.
Woo.
His spirit in us, the word of God in us, is how we can walk in his ways. And the Bible says, it also says in John, if anyone says he has no sin, he's a liar. And so, but when you sin, you have an advocate, Jesus Christ,
yeah,
the righteous, that you just go to him, say, Lord, I messed up. I repent. I turn from that. Repent means you change your mind and your purpose. You change your mind from the things of this world.
Yeah.
That's what sin does. When we get conformed to this world, that's how you sin. When your mind and your heart is on the things of God, you cannot sin. That's
Woo!
As simple as that, because his spirit is living in you.
Yeah, yeah. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good morning, Patty. Maria,
yeah,
doing the Wednesday Espanol.
Good morning,
Pastor
Rick.
My brother Bianco out there in Las Vegas, Nevada. And then good morning to all the 11421. I see a lot of you tune in. Say, get a hold of this message today. It'll set you free. It'll change your life. Because we're going to belong to somebody. We're going to belong to the devil, or we're going to belong to Jesus Christ. And that's the thing. So here it is. Now it says, who are children of God? So now we can tell who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Because if we have this, well, first of all, we have a conscience. Okay, our conscience will lead us, but the Holy Spirit will definitely guide us. And we need to believe that when we are in God, we will no longer practice sin. We will practice righteousness. And how do we practice righteousness? Pastor Bobby just said, you know, just go out there and keep doing it. You know, you want to do a 3-yard screen pass, I bet a 3-year-old could do that. But if you want to do the 50-yard Hail Mary, as they say, you know what I mean? You better practice. Here it is. Start practicing with the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. It will lead you closer to Jesus Christ himself. You have to practice righteousness. We need to read this book. Just as if you were starting on a football, you're going to read the playbook, or you wanted to learn how to play the guitar, you're going to study the lyrics. You know what I mean? If you're learning to play pool, you're going to, you know what I mean?
I mean, that's an awesome point. It's like a football team. They spend time in the classroom. Hours and hours reading the playbook, and I don't know if the Dallas Cowboys did that, but anyway, they're supposed to read the playbook. They get in there and they study the playbook to go out there and play one game.
Yeah,
and I'm telling you, man, it's our playbook is the Bible. That's the Word of God. That it's our instruction manual, and we have to realize that God's ways are higher than our ways. He wants what's best for us. He knows what's best for us. He's our creator.
Amen.
You know, it's just like I said before, you're not going to put water in your vehicle because it's cheaper than gasoline. Your owner's manual tells you to put unleaded gas in it, water.
Man,
so don't take a shortcut.
Let me tell you something here. We spoke about speaking in tongues yesterday. Don't be ashamed to speak in tongues because it's real. And I just said 5 seconds in a tongue, which I probably pray for half the nations of the world by doing so. We don't know. But here it is. We need to stay faithful to God. We need to stay faithful to what God's calling us to do. And you talked about the playbook. These guys practice a whole week to play for 3 hours, okay? So think about that.
They only play for 1 hour,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, right, really. Exactly. There you go. Thank you. Forget the commercial and the halftime, the fanfare. Here it is. We practice. What are we practicing? And I said in the prison on Saturday, and they came back to me where you're going to be spending your time doing something, right? What are you doing? Even your thoughts. Don't you realize you got to think of something? It's rare that you sit there with a blank mind. You can't shut it off sometimes. The thing is, you're thinking about something, and your thoughts can lead to your actions. And the same thing here. Your faith is dictated by how much you study this word. And then your faith is going to dictate by your actions. We're going to go out and do something. So we can't just sit around and claim, we're children of Abraham. Jesus told him, remember we just read, no, you're descendants of Abraham. That's true. But you're not sons because you don't act like sons.
Right. And the thing about it is, Jesus said you must be born again. And
yeah,
when you read the Bible, you have to read the Bible and you have to pray that the Holy Spirit reveal Jesus to you through the Word of God. And it's just like we talked about, you cannot live righteous, you cannot live pure without the Holy Spirit in you. It's a Spirit of God that causes you to walk in His ways.
Yeah. All right. We're going to go into commercials. Me and Bobby and Marlo, and everyone, we have a lot to talk about. It's a big week this week. And we're going to take in a commercial. Stay tuned.
Don't let me lose my way. I'm going to shout your name, hallelujah.
Everybody get up. Yeah. You may be in your car getting ready to go worship, or wherever you may be. I'm just gonna take out this time to talk about my faith. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't mind, I'm gonna go and pray. Yeah, 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 yeah. We just stepping for Jesus. I see you. Let's go. It's like a gentle breeze, fresh off the ocean seas. Pleasant, oh, pleasant. Sweet like a honeycomb, oh, your favorite piece of candy. There's something about when I hear his name.
When I hear that name,
my emotions get the best of me, 'cause
when I hear that name,
people stop and stare, cause I cannot come down. When I hear that name, I lose all self-control. And if you don't mind, I'm just gonna talk about it. Something about that name.
Something about the name that we call Jesus.
Sounds so good, don't you agree? Yeah.
Something about the name.
Something about that name. About my Savior. It's like a smell of sweet perfume.
Like sweet perfume. Just like sweet perfume.
Your name could light the darkest of rooms.
Darkest room. I
love you good.
When I hear that name,
my emotions get the best of me.
When I hear that name,
people stop and stare, but I don't care. He's my shield, my hiding place, a joy in which I can refrain from dancing. Ooh.
Something
about
the name.
Something about
the name that we call Jesus.
10,000 tongues would not be enough to tell. Oh,
something about the name.
All the world about the name. Talking about here.
Yeah.
Hey,
there's something about that name.
Something about that name. It's the mentioning of the name. There is healing, power.
Something about that name.
Something
about that name. Oh, there's something. Something.
Let's take it all home.
There is something.
Huh?
About that name. About that name.
Churches, we go to these churches on a regular basis, 2-3 times a week, but we serve with other ministries. Okay,
yes.
I don't go to the House of Glory, but I'll serve with them any day of the week.
That's right.
I don't go to belong to Fishermen, but I serve with them all the time too when I was working with them. I don't go to Outcast Ministry, but I serve with them.
Right.
I don't belong to the Church of Bridgeport, but I'll go out to that prison and preach and serve. Don't you understand? We are all a body. A church, a building is just a warehouse for the Christians to go in. We are different warehouses all over. We come together as one body, one mind, one accord for one purpose.
That's right.
Five-fold
ministry in the church is for the saints to come in the church, get equipped, to go out there.
Right. You're not cheating on your pastor.
This
or your
is
church.
Not a country club.
Don't think you're cheating on your pastor in your church, because you don't belong to your pastor or your church. You belong to Jesus. And as long as the works are in your heart and they're pure, and if you want to go to a prison ministry, with another church, then do it. Just like they do this Hell House every year down at the Trinity Church. It's in it's somewhere in the Dallas area. But the bottom line is, it's a big church and they've been doing it a long time. And I've served with them. That don't mean I belong to that church. That don't mean that I belong to the Jesus Christ. And I'm probably going to go try to get in back in there this year too to serve with them. Pray for those young kids when they come out leaving the Lord. And we need to know that the works are real, and they don't belong to a particular diocese or denomination or a particular church name. They belong to God himself, to Jesus Christ. So get with the program and find something to do. You know, we're not just pew warmers, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about my show
yeah.
right here before we get out of the commercial. You can't forget our sister.
Yeah.
Right there. And
so anointed.
Yeah, she's anointed. She's doing it. See, there it is, a sister. And again, let Bobby said, what did we say? He said, let others praise you. Well, here it is, Michelle.
That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Not me.
she doing much for the kingdom. She's getting involved. And praise the Lord. She got a CD, so you can listen to her. She'll come to the women's conference and speak, right? She does many different things. Yeah, she'll be talking at the Bling of the Earth. We're going to hope that maybe one day we're going to get her in the prison with us, and that's an open invitation. Michelle, open invitation from Pure and Undefiled Prison Ministry to come into the prison with us and sing. Sing for our brothers in jail. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm sure you can plug in Rick and that. But yeah, so get with it. Do something. Start off with the littlest thing. God will lead you. See, I started off with, doing certain things, and God showed me. And we have probably heard the ravioli ministry. Again, I took it a little strong, but that's why it's important to stay plugged in. Plugged in. Stay busy. Even if you're doing something that's not exactly what God wants you, they'll definitely shift you.
Yeah.
So get with it. We need to start somewhere. You ain't going to bear a bushel of grapes until you bear at least one little one, a raisin, whatever you want. We got to start somewhere. Okay, somewhere. We got to keep building. God will prune us back. He's the vine dresser.
And you want to start by knowing who's your daddy.
Who's your daddy?
You need to know who you're being led by.
Yeah, really. Amen. We don't want to get you all messed up out there, but seriously now, who is your daddy? Ask yourself. I can't tell you. You need to ask yourself, and you need to pray out to God. All right, so wait.
And the word tells you.
Yeah, yeah. I think you know what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we're going to go over to, we're back. If you haven't noticed, we're off the commercial break. So here is in Romans, Bobby. And,
We talked about that, how we can not sin is by, having God's life in us, having his spirit in us. And in Romans 8, verse 14 and 15, says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God.
Yeah.
So you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves.
Yep.
Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Woo. Now we call him Abba, Father.
Wow.
That word Abba, the closest translation we have in the English language is daddy.
Yes,
so that we're asking that question today, who's your daddy? When we're adopted into the family of God, we can call him daddy.
Yeah.
And I was talking about this Saturday at the prison, but my sister's, I have an older sister and a younger sister, so I was right in the middle of two sisters, and they would always team up on me and everything. They used to tell me I was adopted, and, they were just kind of kidding with me, I guess, and so they would tell me I was adopted, and then my mom would tell me, you're just like your daddy, and she didn't mean it in a good way. But little did they know that they were prophesying, because now I am adopted, and now I am just like my daddy. Amen?
Woo!
Because I know who my daddy is. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Abba, that means daddy. That he can be your daddy.
Abba. It ain't like that group, dancing queen group. Or
can I share what you said about the ministry?
We were
on our way to the prison, and Renee does homeless ministry, and she's getting a 501c3.
Yeah,
and we were talking about, she was trying to find a name for the ministry, and as we were driving, Brother Eddie said, well, my ministry, or I can't remember how he said it about the name for his ministry, and he said, my ministry, and then he stopped himself, and he said, well, not my ministry. And right when he said that, we do that so much that we don't want to call it our ministry. And I thought, the Lord gave me a vision of, if your earthly father gave you a bicycle, and you're riding your bicycle, and you said, look at my bicycle. Well, no, not my bicycle. Look, if God gives it to you, it's yours. But I'm telling you, if your daddy gives you a bicycle, take care of that bicycle. So it is your ministry,
yeah.
But you take care of it, and you steward it right.
Yeah.
Amen?
It says these gifts are irrevocable. So
that's
once
right.
God gives to us, they're ours. We need to be good stewards.
And he gives us the ministry.
Yeah, tiptoe through the two lips. And be like borderline religious. Let me tell you something. I belong to God. And everything he puts, and everything I got belongs to Jesus. So here it is. It is mine because it really belongs to Jesus. I know in my heart who it belongs to. I belong to Jesus. He paid the price for me. My life is no longer my life. I live for the Lord, Jesus. He's my master, not just my savior, not just my Lord, but he's my master. And until you come to that deeper revelation, that's when God can really use you in a mighty, mighty way.
And you can know who's your daddy by knowing, woo, like we talked about earlier, that great expectation, that excitement that you want him to come. You're not fearful for him to come. You want him to come,
man,
because you know he's your daddy. And you know that you know, when he comes, you know, he's going to welcome you as his child.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what you have to know. That's how you can know whether the devil's your father or God's your father.
Yeah.
If you have an expectation and an excitement for him to come back, then you know he's your daddy.
Right.
And if
you're
scared, then you know, get right.
If you belong to God, you're not going to continue to practice sinning, right? We read this. You're not going to continue practicing in sin if you belong to God. Just like if you're going to show up to the Dallas Cowboy training camp and expect to practice with them, but you don't belong to the Get Dallas Cowboys. You belong to the New York Giants. You showed up to the wrong training camp. You're not going to go and practice something you don't belong to. If you belong to God, you're going to practice in God's camp, God's plays. Or you're going to practice in the devil's camp, and you're going to practice his play from his playbook. Sorry. You're going to practice somewhere in somebody's training camp, and you better know that you belong to God. You need to step up, because here's what it tells us in Romans. We're going to go with Bobby right up to 15. I just want to show you what it says in 16, where it says, well, you did not receive the spirit of bondage, right? Well, hold on. Here it says, now we call him Abba Father, but it says in the next verse, the spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, okay? And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, then joint heirs with Christ. And indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. So here it is. The Holy Spirit in you is going to testify that you belong to God.
That's right.
And we're going to give our lives to Jesus because he already gave it to us. So we're going to enjoy in the glory one day, but we're going to walk, you know, enjoying the sufferings too.
Yeah.
You know, so there it is. So here it is. You're going to enjoy something. You're going to glorify somebody. Okay? So who are you glorifying, and what are you enjoying is what you need to accept. Who's your daddy?
That's right.
Who is he? Come on, Bobby.
Yeah. I mean, it's like if, you know, we talked about earlier how if you know, how a little kid, when his daddy comes home from work, how they're all excited and they run to him. Well, if you think about it, the child, if he did something wrong and the mother said, you wait till your daddy gets home,
ooh,
he might not run up to the door. But I'm telling you, though, if you understand how much your father loves you,
yeah,
you know, and he disciplines those that he loves, if you're born again, you still have that excitement that your daddy's coming home. Look, daddy, I'm sorry, you know, whatever I did, I stole a piece of gum, whatever. You know your daddy loves you. You know he's not kicking you to the curb because you did something wrong. And it's the same thing with our Heavenly Father. He disciplines those that he loves. So if you're being disciplined, another way you can tell who's your daddy is if you feel condemnation and guilt and shame, then that's the devil. That is not your Heavenly Father, because when he disciplines me, I feel nothing but love. And I know that I have to change.
Yeah, he took it all away. Yeah, God, and we're going to talk about that right now. God loves us so much. He sent his son. Yeah, we were still sinners. Christ came and died for us. So, we got about 10 minutes left. So, I'm going to talk about, just remember, the Spirit of God will testify you are a child of God. And by the way, by who you're practicing, which playbook you're studying, you know, and whose camp you're training in, you're going to figure it out too. So, here's what it tells us in Ephesians. Now, we know that we won't practice sin, and we know that the Spirit will testify to the truth. And just because we go to church don't mean that we're a son of God either. You know, we need to check ourselves all the way from A to Z. It's a checklist. So here's what it tells us, though, in Ephesians 1, verse 4. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ. See, God already knew. God loved us so much. God, yeah, I know we talked about a lot of sin and this, this, and that. But here, the truth of the matter is God is righteous and holy, and he expects us to do the same. And if we are serving him, we're going to want to please him because we know that he's done everything he can to do for us what we need to have to be reconciled back onto God through his son. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. Chose us. We didn't choose him. Remember that. He chose us. So here it is. We are to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So we're saved by grace. We know that. God's done his part. Now it's up to us to walk it out, to be as holy as we can, to show God that we honor him, to glorify him through Jesus Christ, because that's important.
Yeah, and just understand that you can't do it without his spirit living in you. You know, you Jesus said you must be born again. You cannot walk a holy, pure life without the spirit of God living in you. That's the only way to do it. And the Bible tells us different ways. You know, in Jude it says, build up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, put on the whole armor of God. There's just so many things that God gives us. You know, in Peter, he says that he gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness by his divine power. When we realize it's his spirit in us, and in the word of God that tells us exactly how to stir up those gifts that's in us, and we just do it. That's what we do. We take the step and follow him and let him do the rest. All we have to do is show that we're willing and obedient.
Amen.
And he'll
do the
rest.
You got to stir it up because, you know, like when you've got a hot cocoa, and you got to, you know, stir the bottom. There's still some powder dry at the bottom. You got to stir it up and get it right. We need to stir ourselves up. And this is something that sometimes 2-3 times a day, we got to stir ourselves up. Okay? We got to, and again, we need to be hungry for the things of God. Because we're going to feed our appetite. Because we're going to be hungry for something. And you're going to feed that appetite, that flesh. Or you're going to feed the spirit. So you're going to feed one or the other. You're going to feed that spirit. He's going to get bigger and stronger. You're going to feed that flesh, he's going to get bigger and stronger.
Yeah, it reminds me of a few weeks ago, we were at the prison, and when we walked in the prison, the guard, it was a new guard, and he called us over to him and said, hey, there's the tensions are running real high in that dorm over there, and, you know, I just wanted to warn y'all and all this, that, and the other. Well, after we got through, you know, I went up to him, and I was talking to him and stuff and asked if I could pray with him. Well, he had said something. And it was when you came up to me with that I forgot the guy's name, but anyway, he said, I pray, but you know, I just, I don't pray all the time and I don't know how to pray without ceasing like the Bible says. And I was just about to tell him, you pray in the Holy Ghost. That's how you do it. But then anyway, we got interrupted, but I'm going to go back and tell him that's how you pray without ceasing. You're talking about doing it, you know. Stir yourself up all day long. You pray in the Holy Ghost, and you can do it under your breath. You don't have to do it out loud. It's not a show to show anybody how spiritual you are. It's between you and God. It's actually the Holy Ghost is praying for you.
Yeah.
Amen.
And
uttering
things that we don't know. Because guess what?
Yeah.
We don't know how to pray all the time. And we start praying our will. But no, it's straight up God's will. We can pray our will all day. But if it doesn't conform or line up with God's word, don't think you're going to get it. It's, oh, well, it says, anything you ask in my name, oh, thank you, Lord. No, no, you got it all twisted. You better get your will lined up with God. Yeah, anything we ask in the name of Jesus, if we are truly led by the Spirit, we're going to ask for things that Jesus wants us to have to help lift and advance his kingdom, to advance to glorify God. God's not going to give you something that's going to mess you up. He's not going to give you something so you can be destroyed to glorify the devil. God already knows. So get it right,
Jesus,
my brother.
Said that you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you.
Yeah.
But if you read right before that, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you.
Yeah.
That's the key. If you're abiding in him and his words are abiding in you, you're going to ask exactly what he wants you to ask and it will be done for you.
We'll tell you, blog radio listeners, we're going down to the last scripture, but we want you to understand that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you're not sure in your heart who you're serving, call on the Lord. Don't wait till later. Don't wait till after lunch. Go into the bathroom, go into the break room, do something. It don't matter. Pull your car over, or don't even pull your car over. Just say, Lord, come into my heart, show me. And we just want to let you know that. And Bobby, you know, I guess finish off with
Galatians 4.
Yeah.
Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. There's that word again, daddy.
Yeah.
Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir.
Amen.
You know, Galatians 3:29 says that if we're in Christ, that we're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise of you're blessed in the city, blessed in the country, blessed in the field,
hallelujah,
blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed, blessed, blessed.
Yeah, right.
If you're Abraham's seed, you're heirs according to that promise. But how many of you understand it? We can squander the inheritance.
Oh, yeah.
And Jesus told the story about the prodigal son, how the prodigal son got his inheritance from his daddy,
yeah,
and he went and he squandered that inheritance, and the famine swept the land after he ran out of all that money. The famine swept the land, and he ended up feeding the pigs at a farmer's house, and he was so hungry that he wanted to even eat the pods of the pigs.
Yeah.
But the Bible says he finally came to his senses. He finally said, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
My daddy, I mean, it's like what we can do right now. What are we doing wallowing with the pigs when our daddy owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills,
that's right,
the silver, all the silver and all the gold? Our daddy owns it all. Why, if our daddy is God, why are we wallowing with the pigs?
Come on,
it's time to get out of the pig pen. And I'm telling you, God is not the one that moved. There's a story about a man that was driving in a single cab pickup truck. An older man and his wife. His wife was over by the door, and he was driving. And they pull up to the red light, and all of a sudden his wife just punches him in the arm. And he's like, what did you do that for? And she points over to the car, the truck next to them, and it was a younger couple in a single cab pickup. And the man had his arm around his girlfriend or wife, whoever it was, and she said, look at them. And he goes, and he kind of got a tear in his eye, and he said, I'm not the one to move.
Well, yeah.
She's the one sitting over by the door. He's still driving.
Yeah, really.
God did not move. All you have to do is do like the prodigal son. He came to himself. He went back to, he said, he told himself, if I only go back to my daddy's house, and then my daddy will make me one of his servants, and even the servants are eating better than, they have it better than me. But here's what happened. He went back to his daddy's house, and his daddy didn't let him be a servant. His daddy saw him, and his daddy saw him, and his daddy was looking for him. And when he was looking for him, he ran to him, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And he said, look, get the fatted calf. Kill the fatted calf. Get a robe. Get a ring. Put sandal on his feet, because my son who was dead is now alive. My son who was lost has come back, and he's now found. I'm telling you, that's all you have to do is turn back to your daddy. It doesn't matter who your daddy is right now. It matters from this point on. The Bible says now is a day of salvation. You can turn to him right now. It don't matter what you've done. We just read right here, but when the fullness of time has come, when the fullness of time had come, when the death penalty was the most horrific death penalty in human history, to forgive horrific, does not matter what you've done. You turn to your daddy, and he'll forgive you.
Thank you, Blog Radio, for listening. But here it is, simple as it gets. Jesus, come into my heart. Show me, help me. I need you. Thank you, Lord. That's it. I'm a sinner. That's all it is. Go into it and press in and know God. Know Jesus Christ for what he's done for you. Receive the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And walk in the ways of God. Because God will call you. And we thank you, Blog Radio. We bless you, and we hope that you receive the Lord. Know who's your daddy. Facebook.
Is Blog Radio still on right now?
1 3 seconds.
John chapter 1 says that Jesus came to his own. He came to his own creation, but his own did not receive him. But to them that received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. You can know who your daddy is. Amen. All you have to do is receive him.
And here it is. It's all about Jesus. The message is the message, but the Lord is the Lord, and we need to know. And he will guide us. What we do is call out to the Lord, okay? And Bobby was whatever it takes, and mine was even prayer. But God, when something clicked, and it's in your heart. Don't think just, you know, slapping your gums is going and saying a nice prayer from 1,000 people. No, it's more than that. Because from the abundance of the heart speaks the mouth. So God will put that seed in your heart. And he's no respect of anyone. He's going to give it to you.